And welcome back to Coast, John Truman Wolf with us here, and we're going to take calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with John Truman Wolf. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. John, how long have you been doing this now as an author?
About 12 years, George. I started writing with a partner of mine. We had a business management company in Hollywood handling the business and financial affairs of entertainment professionals, you know, actors, actresses, directors, producers, et cetera, et cetera. And I was writing a newsletter for the company, which had to do with taxes and so forth, and I just got bored with it, and so I started writing fiction, and it just took off from there. I just love it.
And you're having a great job doing it too. You're well respected in your field, John.
Thanks so much.
And let's talk a little bit more about Bill Gates. The guy's got more money than God. He seems like a nice guy, yet everybody thinks he's involved in some massive conspiracy. Yes, he's trying to get vaccines, but maybe he thinks they're good. I don't happen to be a proponent of vaccines myself, but where's Bill Gates sit with all of this?
Well, you know, yeah, he does seem like he's a nice guy, but the last article I published at Strategic Financial Intelligence was on Gates and his programs, and as I said a little bit earlier, when I started researching this guy and his wife and their foundation, there's a lot of destruction involved in what that foundation is funding, George. Hundreds of thousands of kids in third world countries paralyzed, being debilitated.
Oh, yeah. It backfired, didn't it?
But not just one, several. I mean, this is not like a one-time accident. The article documents, six or seven different times where he's gone into India. India threw him out of the country. The vaccination program there was so devastating that they asked him to leave. So, you know, he's attacking youngsters in third world countries, and it's devastating. I don't have any other word for it.
It is devastating. There's no doubt about that. But at what point is he going to say something's wrong here? He's not stupid.
I don't, you know, his mindset isn't, that's not what he's looking at doing. I mean, he has this mindset. I mean, if you peel the onion on Bill and Bill and Melinda Gates and their foundation, you find that their underlying theme is population control.
You think there's something sinister here?
Oh, no, without question. You don't create that much damage, George, if you are a social personality. Doesn't happen. The devastation that's happened in India and various African nations to young girls, women in particular, young women, is devastating. I could walk through the different examples with you, but it goes on and on and on. I'll read you a couple of things here, just quoting from my own article. The heavily Gates-funded WHO chemically sterilized millions of unwilling Kenyan women with a tetanus vaccine campaign. Similar charges were leveled by Tanzania, Mexico, Nicaragua, and the Philippines. In 2017, the Indian government asked Gates to leave the country. This resulted from Gates earlier taking control of one of India's national immunization programs, which mandated up to 50 doses of polio vaccines. The Gates program paralyzed 490,000 children between 2000 and 2017, at which point the Indian government threw them out of the country. It goes on and on and on. The article on that subject just, you know, details a lot of it. So, look, there are people in the world that are evil intended. One of his homies is a guy named George Soros.
We've heard about him. He would love to do anything to disrupt the United States.
Exactly. I mean, he hates the United States, and of course, there's all kinds of data about him funding these protesters, which he did in Baltimore. And he and Gates are partners in various vaccine programs. To a very certain degree, you're known by who your friends are. And Bill Gates and George Soros are birds of a feather.
All right, let's take some calls here, John, as we click along. Let's go to Byron in San Marcos, California, to get things started. First-time caller. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Oh, hi. Hey, yeah, I agree with you guys 100% on Gates. Bad situation, real bad. Okay, the question I wanted to ask John was that I wonder, John, if you were aware of a brand new decentralized technology called CloudCoin. And it's brand spanking new. It does not use blockchain, which is not scalable, and for world transactions. But it's brand new, and it's based on a technology called Rada Tech. And I just wondered if you knew about it, but it's what we should be using because it's totally decentralized, 100% private. Blockchain is not 100% private. People think it is. It's not. And if you lose cloud coins, you can actually get them back. This is amazing. And it's scalable for all retail to be done super fast because the Bitcoin can only do 7 transactions per second. CloudCoin can do over 5 million.
Jeez.
It's amazing. And it's all based on really libertarian points of view where your money should be private. It really should be. It should not be able to be manipulated. That's where the decentralization comes in. And it's just an amazing technology. So it's just called CloudCoin, and that's the website is cloudcoin.global. And the technology is radatech.com. But I don't know anything about it.
Full transparency, Brian, I'm very, very familiar with CloudCoin. Again, full transparency, I am a minority owner in a company that promotes it very aggressively. I've got a lot of CloudCoin personally. So I'm a big fan of that digital currency.
Okay, Brian, thanks. Appreciate it. And do you like it, John? I guess you do.
Yeah, it's got a tremendous number of plus points, as the caller said. I don't want to be on the air and promoting something that I own. But it's, I'm a big fan of it. It's developed by a guy named Sean Worthington, who's a computer science professor up in, I think he's in Chico. And it is one of the new, the new digital currencies, and it does not rely on blockchain. It has its own distribution system. So, yeah, I like it.
Let's go to Bill, truck driving in Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Bill.
Hey, George. Hey, John. Hey, John, I got a question for you. I don't know if you've had a chance to read or even read a review of John Bolton's new book on his time as, in the Trump administration. Do you have an opinion on it?
I haven't read it yet because the White House has sued to block it.
It may not get published. It may not be put in our hands, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the White House has sued to block it.
No, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't read it for that reason.
What do they think is in that book? He's not going to release national security issues or anything, is he?
John Bolton is an interesting guy, George. I mean, he's got a mind of his own, and I don't know what he's got in there. Clearly, he's got enough in there that it's got the White House up in arms and, using their legal power to try and stop it. So I'm not sure what he's got in there. Listen, in this world, George, it'll leak. You know it'll leak.
Oh, of course it will. Of course it will.
But I haven't had enough time to, you know, this battle is just engaged, right, between the White House and John Bolton.
The poor publisher probably has 100,000 books already printed up.
I would imagine, because he's got, I'm sure he's got a lot to say. I know he differed with Trump on the handling of North Korea and also other instances. So I'm guessing that he dropped some things that the mainstream media is going to, you know, eat up like a vampire.
Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hey, Michael.
Hi. Thank you very much. John, I want to go back to the John Bolton thing. We know a lot of the information that he has. We get it from investigative journalists who have a lot more than John Bolton has on this. He is trading off of his name. I'm glad with that, as having been high up in the former administration. He will actually be the John Dean of this administration. And I will give you facts that every good political analyst knows about Donald Trump. Fact number one, Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Transportation, is the wife of Mitch McConnell. She sits on the board of China, the Communist Bank, the board of the Bank of China, which is owned and operated by the Communist Party. She is, in effect, a Chinese communist. She has devastated our ability to protect our shipping lanes in the South China Sea. You will have to have a whole array of people around the former Undersecretary of Defense, Frank Gaffney, on your show, George, with John here tonight to get the full knowledge of this. But the big mistake that's being made now is people are hoping that they can keep the White House for the Republican Party in about the same way that they hope to do it under Gerald Ford. And so this president is bargaining for a pardon in the style that Gerald Ford gave to Richard Nixon.
It's hey, interesting take. Well, let me ask you this, John. Did you see the story that broke later today that the president may have had some negotiations with the Chinese president to basically help him get reelected? Did you see that story?
I did not see that story, George. And let me just kind of quickly address a comment that the caller made. There's no evidence anywhere that I can see that Elaine Chao is on the board of the PBOC, the People's Bank of China. I have been to Beijing at the invitation of the Chinese government. I have been there for a week negotiating with them. They read my book. They were impressed with the solutions. I had a week there. And among other people, I spoke with at some length Dr. Wang, W-A-N-G, who was one of the founders of the PBOC, the People's Bank of China. She was in charge of controlling the value of the yuan worldwide. And they're not going to let a member of the Trump administration on the board of the PBOC. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this, too. Do you think China's got their eyes on Taiwan?
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Listen. China is the 900-pound gorilla of the 21st century. I don't like to admit it, but look, we're the beacon of free enterprise. We're $25 trillion in debt. China is the largest communist nation on planet Earth. They've got $3 trillion in reserves. It's really, really odd that the communists are actually saving and that we're buried in debt, and the degree to which we continue to borrow and jack up the debt and devastate the value of the dollar eventually is going to give China number one business, number one economy, I guess I should say, on the planet. I don't like to say that. I don't like to see it coming, but that's what all the stats tell me.
Apparently, the story that broke tonight was that the president went to the Chinese president and said, buy up more products, farm products, wheat, corn, soybeans from the Midwest to help me, and I will diminish the tariffs that we've slapped on China. If that's true, he's got a problem.
Yeah, I haven't seen that story. I wouldn't put it past him. Sometimes the mainstream media will you know, spin things and say, you know, that he's negotiating with Xi Jinping is without question, that they may be negotiating tariffs and so forth, I'm sure is without question. Whether or not he went to him and said, you know, do this to help me, this is similar to the story about his discussions with the Ukrainians.
Right.
On Joe Biden.
Right. See, I have no problem with him going to China and saying, buy more goods and products from our farmers and I'll reduce my tariffs on you. That's negotiation. I don't have a problem with that. But if he said in the meantime, this will help me get elected, then he's got a problem.
Let's see the transcript. I mean, let's see the hard evidence.
If they're available. They're probably not even available. Next up, let's go to Jan in Brooklyn, New York. Squeeze you in really fast, Jan. Go ahead.
Hi, I got something important.
You always do. Go ahead.
Thank you. The thing is, if the viruses are different in all the different countries, I mean, I think this is a conspiracy. And I heard in China that only the Chinese were getting that virus. None of the Americans or Europeans.
You mean the one that they're getting right now is a different kind of virus than what we've had?
Yeah, in every country it's a different kind of virus. We're getting the same kind of virus that Italy got. And I heard, I mean, why would the Chinese do that? We're only the Chinese would get it. And also, I heard that only the United States has the different strands for all the different countries.
I'd have to check into that, John. Have you heard that?
I have not.
I've heard it could mutate. That I've heard.
Yeah, from country to country. And I've heard that there has been some mutation of the virus in Italy and Spain. But I can't address that with great certainty because I haven't researched it.
Yeah, I would think it's pretty difficult that the virus would be different in a lot of different countries. Now, it may be mutating, it may be changing, but I don't think they dropped one here, one there, a different one there, a different one there.
I don't think so. I agree with you.
You know, they made it in a lab, that's for sure, and then it got out somehow, and it spread like wildfire. I mean, I've never seen anything in my lifetime that has gone so quickly, but it's confusing because I think the normal seasonal flu deaths are mixed in with it now. There's some hospital people tell me that if somebody dies from anything, they put COVID because
George, they incentivize it. You know, if you're treating a hospital,
they pay you for it.
COVID, they get $13,000. If somebody dies from COVID, they get $39,000. Come on, you can't tell me these stats are accurate.
Good point, John. We're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Hollister Rand joins us. Everything you wanted to know about the afterlife, but were afraid to ask. We're going to be chatting with her about the afterlife and the spirit world. And, of course, in our last hour, we'll take your phone calls. Welcome back to George Norrie with you. Our final segment with John Truman Wolf. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His books include The 99 Strongest Banks in America and Why It Matters, Crisis by Design, and The Coming Financial Crisis. John, in your crystal ball here, let's look into it. Where do you see the economy in about 5 years?
I think the economy has got some big barriers to overcome, George, and that is, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the trillions of dollars that the Fed is just printing out of whole cloth. I think that is going to increase interest rates. I think it's going to decrease the value of the dollar. I think this will catch up with us in, I don't know, that crystal ball doesn't nail it down, but I'd say, you know, 18 months or so. And if we continue to borrow, whether under, it doesn't seem to matter what party is in power. They continue to borrow. They're like heroin junkies up there. They can't not borrow. Every administration does it, and now it has become normal to have a shortfall in the budget of about $1 trillion a year. That's a lot of money. And so I think this is going to hamper economic growth. And I think, in a couple of years, we're going to start to struggle. I think rates will go up. If rates go up, that affects real estate and a number of other things. And I think the value of the dollar will decrease. The one thing that will go up, in my opinion, which I said earlier in the show, is precious metals. I am a strong advocate of gold and silver. And I think as rates go up as a result of the Fed printing, so too will precious metals.
I think so, too. Let's go to final calls. We'll go to Mark in Aptos, California, to get us started. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, John. Hi, George.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
You know, it's like listening to myself think to hear your guest. This China thing, they went back way to Richard Nixon when he empowered China in the 70s, remember?
Yep.
Sure.
Ping pong diplomacy.
And they didn't call him Tricky Dicky for nothing. Now look at what's going on. I think Nixon might have been a globalist, double-crossing America. I think a lot of people are double-crossing America, mainly China lately. I think their unapologetic tone suggests this may be a slap in our face and a prelude to World War III, for all we know. And if I were Trump, I would say, look, China, you've had your day in the sun. We made a mistake. We're going to start manufacturing our own stuff and see how you like that.
And now, here's the big question about that. And you're right, Mark, to some respect. But, John, we have given up our physical manufacturing plants. They are ghost towns. I mean, I looked at one in St. Louis about 6 months ago. I mean, like tumbleweeds are blowing through it. I don't think we could get back to manufacturing that quickly. What do you think?
That's also a factor, George. And Mark what I would say is this. There is although the American public isn't really aware of it, there is a war going on with China. It's not just the tariff war. There is a cybersecurity war going on relentlessly.
Oh, my God, they're hacking all the time.
But between, that's right, the NSA and the Chinese Secret Service. In addition to that, there is a currency war going on. China has been accumulating gold by the ton, and I mean by the ton. When I visited, when I was invited to Beijing, one of the things I did, I had dinner with the president of China Gold. China is the largest gold producer on planet Earth, and this guy was, he had 40,000 employees, and he was buying up gold mines around the planet like Pac-Man. And his intention was to back the yuan with gold. As our currency depreciates by virtue of the Fed printing, so too will the dollar. And there is a currency war going on and a cybersecurity war going on. So these are where battles occur these days, currency wars and cybersecurity wars, and both of those, I was going to say skirmishes. They're not skirmishes. Those wars are going on as we speak.
Let's go next to Richie in Los Angeles. Hey, Richie, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Oh, pleasure, George. Been listening to you for years.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to ask John about two names. Dr. Kelly Victory, do you know her, John?
I do not.
Okay. And then the other one is Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Judy was just on the program a couple weeks ago.
Awesome. I think you had on Dr. Kelly Victory, too.
Yes.
Sherry Tenpenny, sorry.
We've had Sherry, too.
I got an idea. If it worked, it'll turn this whole shutdown around in a hot second. Here's what it is. Dr. Kelly Victory has been on this. She's a trauma surgeon and a mass casualty expert with tons of experience. She's been on a radio show for at least 3 months, almost every day, giving out real facts. And I heard on this show that Disneyland is opening up in a month, okay? And Dr. Victory has said right from the beginning, because they knew what the bug was, that there's no shutdown should be done. She says I have 10 epidemiological books. If you read any one of them, the protocols in it, none of them has anything about shutdown or quarantining the healthy.
That's right.
You know, you take care of the...
The sick and the elderly need
exactly,
to...
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So she's beside herself because she knows her wax. So if she could get a hold of, because she's very personable, funny as heck to talk with, if she could get a hold of the guys at Disney and get them to open up correctly, this stuff will turn around in a hot second. Could you imagine if Disney opens up with no distancing, because that's not in those epidemiological books, by the way.
And already, though, they're starting to set us up by saying six states are reporting an increase in the coronavirus since they've opened up. They're setting us up, John, for another fall. I feel it.
I agree, George. I mean, this is it's a PR world, and this kind of thing that you're just talking about gets driven by the media. I'm very distrustful of the stats that come out of these states that go, oh, you know, it's all getting worse again. What's getting worse is the fact that we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, is that they're labeling virtually any kind of sickness or disability as coronavirus so that they can get federal money. I don't trust the government stats on this at all.
No, and still the major media, of which we are part of, we report on the seasonal flu. They're not reporting those statistics at all, and they are still huge.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In terms of your friend's comments about Disneyland, you know, if they wanted to take the lead in this, I think it would be great. I'm a Disneyland alum. I was a busboy there when I was going to college.
Oh, were you?
And it still holds a place in my heart. So I'll look forward to them reopening this summer.
Favorite Disney character, which was it?
Well, Tinkerbell, my roommate was dating Tinkerbell when I was working there. So she's kind of a favorite.
Let's go to Sean in British Columbia, Canada. Thanks for calling, Sean. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering if anyone knows about the scientists they let go from that laboratory in northern Manitoba that sent all those coronaviruses to China.
Now, he was the one who was arrested at the airport?
No, it's a female. They just let her go because she was sending samples of these viruses to China.
Interesting.
To the original place.
Before this even broke out, right?
Yes. Yes.
A lot of sinister things going on, Mr. Truman Wolf.
There are for sure. You know, I mean, I'm not familiar with that woman. I am familiar with the stories of the other scientists up there sending viruses over. And as we talked about a little bit earlier, George, you know, Fauci's $3.7 million in funding for the coronavirus, it's ugly.
And he doesn't admit it. You know, he goes before the American public on television. In the beginning, it was every day. And Do you think he would say, by the way, we funded $3.7 million to the Wuhan Viral Lab to study coronaviruses? He wouldn't say that at all. We had to come up with this story, and geez.
He is a classic example of a member of the deep state.
I had heard that he has patents on these things.
I've heard the same. I haven't seen the patents. The company, and I have this from news stories, I may have mentioned a little bit earlier, the company that was manufacturing the so-called resminivir, I think is what it was called, vaccination that was supposed to replace the company that produced this thing put the patent in a subsidiary, and the investors in that subsidiary are Bill Gates, George Soros, and the WHO.
Jeez.
So this is, you know, this is sinister stuff, and people like Anthony Fauci should be removed, period. You look at his track record, you look at what he is actually accomplished, and he's just a PR maven working for his own benefit.
Well, and he's not even following the guidelines of the president.
No, I'm surprised that in the early days when he was talking that he was validative of the president's stuff. Thank God President Trump, you know, kind of pushed him to the side.
Well, what I don't understand, though, is, you know, the president has fired most of his staff for less than what Fauci's been doing.
Yeah, I know.
That's what's so weird.
It was weird.
Let's go to Joel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hey, Joel, go ahead, sir.
George, it's nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Joel.
I just wanted to elaborate on Bitcoin, and maybe your guests can comment after I'm done, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely.
Bitcoin is not meant to be a daily currency. It's more like digital gold. You're not supposed to spend it unless it's absolutely necessary. Bitcoin is more about security than speed. And that's why, just like gold is not in competition with government money or with a company like Cloudcoin, Bitcoin is also not in competition with any of those types of things. Cryptos like Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash would be more in that category. And Bitcoin is in a class of its own. It was designed to be the hardest form of money that exists, with an eventual hardness allowing for no further production, which creates absolute scarcity. It's hard-coded to have a maximum supply of 21 million units, and it makes it a deflationary asset by definition. And it's mined just like gold. It's called proof of work, and it's what makes Bitcoin truly decentralized, secure, and it's also what gives Bitcoin its intrinsic value, unlike many other coins out there. So real quick, up until now, the value of gold has kept up with our mechanical abilities in the industrial age, and Bitcoin was designed to keep pace with the incredible gains in productivity in a computer age realized by Moore's law. That's exactly what it was designed to do. And just as gold was the perfect proof of work money for the ever-increasing horsepower of the industrial age, Bitcoin is the perfect proof of work money for the ever-increasing computational power of the computer age.
Comments, well, Mr. Wolf?
I consider Bitcoin a commodity like gold or silver or cotton or soybeans. That may be simplistic, but it's a commodity. It's not really a currency, although there are a number of companies, businesses that accept it. I it is unique. You're talking about a commodity that is unique. You've got I think the figure $75 billion worth of Bitcoin out there. Bitcoin has about 60% of the entire digital currency market, and it's going to continue to be the leader. The other points you make comparing it to gold, there are China is now working on a digital currency backed by gold, which if they, roll that out, it's going to hurt the dollar and hurt the dollar badly. If there's a gold-backed Bitcoin, the dollar is going to take a hit. That's supposed to be coming out reasonably quickly.
It's going to take a huge hit. John, we're out of time, but thank you. Stay in touch with us, okay?
My pleasure, George. Thanks for having me.
John Truman Wolf. His website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Hollis Duran joins me as we talk about spirits and the afterlife.